time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah. Happy New Year. Happy 2024.
Man. Yeah. 2024, brother.
Another 24 hours to live. No doubt. Happy Black History Year. We back. Some people calling it the Kobe year. We just came off the Jordan. Everybody assigned something. 24. So we here 24. Happy New Year, man. How was your New Year? How was it coming into the New Year? How you feeling?
New Year was cool, man. It was, I like to bring my New Year's in kind of quiet. You know what I'm saying? A whole lot of chill and solitude, thinking, shit like that. I've been doing that for years. I remember the year that the club shooting happened with J-Lo now. That was my first year in on New Year's Eve. I guess that was going into 2000. And I just laid back, man. My wife was pregnant. She was my girl then. She was pregnant. We just laid across the couch and watched the New Year's shit. Then all that shit started popping off. And then I went to sleep and came in and kicked ass the next year. So I followed suit for many years after that. I think maybe 2000, going into 2006 might have been one year that I was out. But other than that, I usually be chilling. You know what I'm saying? Cook some food, eat some food. This year, just chill. You know what I'm saying? I ain't even really cook nothing. Just chilled and watch some TV. Schooled my son on some LL Cool J on Dick Clark. You know what I'm saying? Trying to uphold the old school hip hop pedigree. And then it's just moseyed on into 24, man. This year is going to be different. You know what I'm saying? 23 was different in a way, but 24 going to be different in a recuperate, get back way. How to get back, you know what I'm saying, to where you was at and beyond. So, that don't take a whole lot of celebration and hoopla, Not mad at it, I like to watch the Instagram and see people getting it in. But that just be my part of it is watching. I'll see y'all niggas next week when the prices is down.
I can dig it. I can dig that. When you said the Puffy J-Lo shit, for a high second, I thought you was going to say you was in the club when that went down.
No. I was in Miami watching that shit on TV.
Got you. Club couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the same way when it comes to New Year's Eve. I've been washed many New Year's Eves ago. I don't even look at it as washed. I just always looked at it as like amateur night. The expectations are high and it's oftentimes very underwhelming, I've had a few times. I was talking to some of my homies in the group chat. Shout out to Westman Child, Johnny Mingle. We were in London one year, long time ago. And I don't know, it was so funny in retrospect. It's always fly to have New Year's Eve plans. It's always fly to say that, because especially when you're young, people, what you doing? Where you going? Da-da-da-da-da. So if it sound fly and exotic, we going to be abroad. It just sound fly. And we went to London and Amsterdam, but what I totally forgot about that was they were experiencing winter like we were experiencing winter. And their winter was like way more aggressive, and that shit fucked the whole trip up. Like, it was that type of thing. We left Amsterdam early. Like,
you mean
that
aggressive
shit,
as in colder?
That shit was cold as fuck. Amsterdam, that shit, all them canals and all that, so all that cold air coming off that water is crazy. And then, and when I smoked some weed that was way, way, way too strong. This was before I was really smoking weed like that. It was still real recreational for me. I'm like, well, in Amsterdam, you might as well get it. And I know that shit was dumb strong. And that shit just felt like, it made everything even colder. You know what I mean? Then we were going to get into, we were supposed to, we had another, shout out my man Chad. He was cool with Tim Westwood at the time. And we was trying to get in contact with him because we was going to go to some event. And it was, you know, this is like pre-social media, really like damn near pre-text. You know what I'm saying? Like we were emailing people from like the hotel lobby. You know, this is still the MapQuest era, print some directions out type shit. And we trying to get in touch with him. That shit take it forever. We all this line. It's super fucking cold, but this is New Year's Eve. So they going crazy with the... with the prices. At this point, the pound was beating the dollar's ass. And I was still, you know, I regretfully, as I look back on it, I was on my little Frugal Freddy. You know what I mean? Like, we done came all this way, and I'm kind of shrugging when it came to, like, yo, this is going to cost this. We're going to have to do this. I'm like, ah. We wound up getting a bottle. We wound up getting in the club. That shit was trash. It was nobody in that bitch. It was like, I don't even know where the line went. Like, I don't know what happened. What was all these people online? They didn't meet us inside. But ever since then, for the most part, man, I like to chill, stay at the crib, do like a couple days beforehand, do like a little self audit. You know what I mean? See what I got done, what I planned to do, what I accomplished, what I didn't accomplish, what am I, you know, rolling over? What's the new goal? What's the new intention? All of that type of shit. And then just be real chill, real mellow, you know, watch some TV or something like that. And then I cooked. I made some, I did my little, I went the Negro classic. I did some black eyed peas, collard greens, and cornbread just to, you know, for the luck and the ceremony of it all.
And meat?
Yeah, I had some smoked turkey with it. Just in it, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mixed it up in that shit. Shit was pretty good. The cornbread was fantastic. I ain't gonna lie to you. I gotta freeze that shit fast because that shit is like cooking up crack. It's ridiculous. Yeah. That shit, yeah, it's crazy.
That nigga throw down.
Yeah, man, I did that. But other than that, man, it's been chill. What I did do, I'm late as a motherfucker. But I finally locked into Top Boy. And I've been watching Top Boy for the last 3-4 days.
And what you think?
I fuck with it. You didn't like it?
I didn't watch this. I didn't watch the new reboot of it. You know what I'm saying? I tried it out before. And again, we talked about this. I it was just hard to get over the Londonness of, you know what I'm saying, the street activity. You know what I'm saying? So I never did get into it, so I didn't catch the first part, so I didn't really catch the reboot. So, right. But I hear everybody, I see everybody talking about the reboot, so, you know, I've been toying with it. That's why I was curious to know what you thought.
I was the same way. I didn't even know which one was the reboot, which one was the OG, because both of them are on Netflix. If you want the OG, that's Top Boy Summer House. That's where it all starts.
Oh, okay.
And that one is a little bit more grittier, the way it's shot, the way, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like 8 episodes into the first season of the Drake and Maverick Carter joint. And that shit I too, because I thought, you know, somebody was telling me it was like, they kind of compared it to kind of like Summer House is what like Raising Kanan is, whereas the new one is more like what Ghost is, you know what I mean? Like a little soapy or whatever. But so far, I think both of them are good, and I like really locked in because typically, like to your point, like it was just taking me out. I couldn't connect with the slang and all of that shit. It felt like it was moving real slow, but for whatever reason, I sat with one episode and maybe about an episode and a half in. You know how you feel that momentum shift, and you like, oh, now I'm locked in. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I even said to myself, like, nigga, I'm happy for me. You know what I mean? Like, I got some time. I'm about to fucking lock in. This shit is good to the motherfucker. I understand. That shit got me on my Aubrey Graham. Because all of the fucking slang is real catchy. Bruv, in it. We want our food. You know what I mean? We're making peas. All of that shit is like, is catchy as fuck. And the characters are well done. And it's funny, too, because, you know, like, over the years, I feel like the distance, you know, the pond has gotten smaller. When they say across the pond or whatever, like, felt like it was two separate, you know, like, entertainment hubs. Mm-hmm. You know, the people over there and the people over here. And they didn't really all the way cross. And when they first started crossing, it was a little bit of like, yo, what's going on? They taking out jobs, whatever, whatever. And then now it's just so embedded that you don't even really notice it until three seasons in. You find out, oh, this nigga from Manchester. You know, but when you watch Top Boy, it's so many people that you've seen in shows that are like, oh, right. Oh, shit, I know. So, like, Letitia Wright's in there. Michaela Cole's in there. A bunch of people. Just a bunch of familiar faces that you've seen. And you're like, oh, wow, okay, bet. Oh, shit, that's homie from such and such. Or that's her from this. And I think it's well written, you know. It's, you know, it's got some good stakes to it. I think it's worth checking out. Like, I totally understand, because I, like, the shit has been on my list for years, and I tried it a few times, and it just didn't take, but if you got some time, I say give it 2 to 3 episodes, and you'll see what you like. Especially the first season, the Summer House shit, them seasons are like four episodes a piece. Mm. You know what I mean? So you'd be through with 3 seasons and 12 episodes.
Okay. You know, so with that, you know, we're moving into 24. Where would you rank that in 2023 TV world? Moving into our 2023 recapness of it all.
Well, I feel like it doesn't apply. You know how like certain, you know, you got to be in the Grammy selection window. Like this shit, I'm talking like, people gonna be like, dog, you talking about Top Boy in 2023? This shit, I think it came out 2016, 2017. So like, I ain't even gonna play that. This is a throwback. This reminds me of when I started watching Game of Thrones over the pandemic. You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, this is it. And everybody like, nigga, you just getting to that shit? But it's good. It's good. Like, it's a nice little, I don't even call it a placeholder, but it's something I picked up because, you know, when I look at this list, because we're going to talk about some shit. I mean, we watched a lot of TV and talked about a lot of TV this year. But to me right now, it feels like it's not a whole lot of shit on. But maybe I'm bugging. So it felt like I had some bandwidth for another TV show. So
I mean, they just dropped one in 2023, so it fits the window, the last season.
Oh, okay, I ain't get to that yet, so I can't really speak on that. But yeah, man, salute to Top Boy. Let us know what you think. Let us know who some of your favorite characters are on there, who you fucking with, Deshane, you fucking with Sully, fucking with Jamie, you know what I mean? Like, this shit, nah, dog, you gotta watch it, man. It's a good show.
All right. Yeah. I mean, that's a cosign. Shit.
There you go. So, let us talk about 2023. We're going to recap. You want to do a little recap of 2023 of what we saw, what we experienced, what we fucked with, you know, who won the year in various categories. You know, I guess this is the ITC Awards. You know.
Word.
You know, so
second annual.
Second, is it the second or the third? It's a few. We've been loose with it. We need to get some tuxedos and some fucking garland. You know what I mean? Turn it into a thing. Some past hors d'oeuvres. So let's kick it off with music. What you think of the year 2023 music wise? How'd you feel about
man.
It?
You know, 2023, music-wise, was much more the same to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get too crazy with it because I'm not everybody. You know what I'm saying? I think this year opened up a lot of doors for people to feel like, hey, man, let me go discover some other shit. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Usual Suspects, Drake came out with an album or two. Did a tour with 21, where he gave 21 all the good beats, and you know what I'm saying? He melodized all the way through the rest. Then he gave us a, you know, gave us some rap. But, you know, Drake was out there, you know what I'm saying? Beyonce did the Renaissance tour. Andre made a flute album, which was a cool departure. But it speaks to what I'm saying. It's like, you know, a lot of the same created a window of things of people saying, you know what, let me try this, let me try that. Afrobeats blew up a lot during this era. I'm a Piano had a moment, 2023. Just people just vibing on different shit, you know what I'm saying? Andre put out his flute. I was, and I'm not shocked or surprised, but I was impressed by Rod Wave's wave, you know what I'm saying, on the concert tip and on the, you know, just dropping shit and then going out and really packing out shit on the low, you know what I'm saying? And like you see a lot of Rod Wave everywhere on all the commercials and shit, but he was out there working. He was doing his thing. A lot of niggas is out there doing their thing, but I really noticed Rod Wave this year. And, you know, and of course, you know, the surgence of nasty girl rap, Sexy Red kind of took over the ghetto streets and made a mark for herself.
Yeah, she reminded me
and
of
on
like
some of these kids out here. It's a damn shame, but go ahead.
What you mean? What that? What you say?
Now, there's a video came out maybe last week or a couple of days ago. Little girls singing the Sexy Red joint, hands on mm-hmm. knees, just mm-hmm. in full blast. Like they about 3 years old with the karaoke right. machine, just going in. Right. And you know, people were talking about it, but I don't usually jump in those type of conversations because the internet is such a wild place. Because there's always gonna be some nigga shit in the world, in the mix, no matter what. Mm-hmm. It's always some niggas and always gonna be some nigga shit. Until the internet, nigga shit didn't usually have to cross over into your world. You know what I'm saying? But on Twitter, the nigga shit is gonna slide past your timeline. And you got to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, them people was quietly in their own environment, doing their own little shit. When they was going to be doing that no matter what season or era it was. You know what I'm saying? But now it's crossed over into a place where people from different backgrounds and different points of views can have an opinion on it. So, mm-hmm. and then you can see the effects of nigga shit. You know what I'm saying? Especially in its bubble, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of times that bubble is a bubble. That's a place where certain people be, and that's where they at, and they always there, and they've always been there. And then sometimes we just get a chance to chime in on it, but people get a chance to chime in, because I don't chime in on shit like that, because I know, you know what I'm saying, that shit going on whether or not you chiming in on it or not, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. A lot of naysayer behavior in the world. And it's quite interesting sometimes, because it's always been interesting. But to your point, now that it's in the mix and everybody could comment, that's something that I've grown super tired of. I've been realizing recently, last few months, and even I think I'm really falling back in 2024. But like, I don't even like being in the comments no more. Just for, yeah, I used to like, I've never been somebody to comment, but I'm a lurker, right? So mm-hmm. I'll go through the comments. To sometimes there'll be some funny shit. And the most I'll do sometimes is like a comment if I think it's super funny. But what's been pissing me off more than anything is when it seems to be an isolated incident, whether it's some naysayer behavior or whether it's some like some New York civics or local news or development or something like that, or some, you know, whatever. There are these people that are from outside the community that have the strongest fucking takes, and they be so uninformed and so like remote from the situation that it like That shit be having me frustrated. Like, yo, what the fuck are you talking about? What are you talking about? So I find myself saying, man, get your ass out these comments. You know? So, but back to the Sexy Red of it all. I feel like Sexy Red remind me of, like, the woman Juicy J. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, a lot of, like, chant rap. Real uncompromising. You know what I'm saying? Raunchy. But the shit is effective. The shit, it hits the nerve, it hits her demo hard, and the momentum has not really slowed down, you know? So I appreciate it. I appreciate it for what it is. I appreciate it for what it is. Speaking of music, though, you talked about a lot of a lot of things in music. I've been hearing a lot about Rod Wave peripherally. Like, I've listened to some of his stuff, but not enough to really even have a gauge of what... You know, I kind of got an idea what a sound is, but I couldn't name any records, you know, but I do see that he's selling out, and I see that Ari Lennox is catching hell trying to open for him, you know what I mean? Because it just feels like that those crowds haven't all the way coalesced yet, but, you know, shit, it's an opportunity to build your fan base. Yeah. Anyway.
Them people can't see him. Go ahead.
Of course. And that's just that's the opener struggle more often than not. Sometimes you try to get an opener that compliments what you're doing, and maybe, you know, or somebody that, and maybe he does like her. You know what I mean? Maybe he likes her music and he's just like, you know, I think oftentimes if you headlining and you want to put somebody on, that's always, you know, an indication of the taste of the headliner. Like, yo, I think y'all should fuck with this person. If y'all ain't up on this, check this out, you know. But I got this thought about music, because I think music, particularly rap music, was pretty flat this year. You know what I mean? There's people that came out, you know, some solid albums that came out. But I got this thought for me. I feel like I've noticed, maybe it's just because I've been listening to rap, particularly rap, for 30 plus years, probably longer than that, right? And actually longer than that. But I feel like as of late, there's this thing for me where, phenomenon where, like, there could be a solid album, like legitimately good album. You know, it could be nominated for album of the year. I'd be like, nah, that shit is good as fuck. But for me, there's no replay value on it. You know, it's not a knock on the album. I'll give you an example. Like, I like the Killer Mike album. I like it a lot. I think it's solid. I think it's probably his best work. You know, I think it definitely deserves all the accolades it's getting, but it's not something that I go back to, you know? Right. I felt like that with Kendrick's last album, and then later on I went back to it, and then I fuck with it much more, but I still don't find myself, I guess I've morphed into the playlist game now. I'll take an album and I'll cut that shit up like a turkey, and I'll cut, you know what I mean? Cut the shit, get some of that dry ass white meat off. You know what I mean? Put some thighs and some legs on here. Boom. And that's going to that playlist. And I'm going to throw that on this playlist. And it is what it is. You know, like, you know, and even if an album is 25 minutes or an hour and 20 minutes, sometimes it's just like, I don't want to hear that right now. You know? Right. And I don't know if that's just me. I don't think it's just me, but I'm curious. Have you seen that with you, or, you know, what's your, what has been your experience with music over this past year?
You know, over this past year, you know, it's like you said, it's been flat. But again, it has opened up doors to go discover new shit, you know what I'm saying?
I agree with that. Go listen to
new artists and go listen to, you know what I'm saying, stuff that I wouldn't normally listen to. I've added to my funk list. You know what I'm saying? I rocked out to the I'm a Piano. Not that I know any I'm a Piano artist, but you put on the playlist and that shit go. You know what I'm saying? It's just a good vibe. You know what I'm saying? And you know me, I've been searching for, you know, the foreign sounds just so they don't get in the way. Like when you writing and shit like that, foreign language don't get in the way because you're not trying to listen and understand the words. You're just vibing. So, you know, it's been real easy to vibe to the I'm a Piano and Afro Beats. Even, you know, like, I got an Afro Beats list from the original Afro Beats, like the 70s, you know what I'm saying? Fela and all them niggas, you know what I'm saying? Castle, Bucky Leo, and shit like that. You know, so it's good to see the progression. You know what I'm saying? It's good to have an alternative. Now, when you want to, you know, when you want to rock, you're going to put on the hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? When you, you know, in the car, you're going to put on your shit. But this year, you know, it's been a rough year anyway. But I ain't really heard nothing that got me to where I'm going to be playing that shit over and over. But I find it forced me to go find other shit that I do play over and over. You know what I'm saying? And that's the beauty of culture, is that it's a living being. And even when it ain't hitting like you wanted to hit, it's going to cause the culture to do things that they weren't thinking about doing. And I think that's the byproduct and the benefit of having a music year like this. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not young, you know. Like, when you're young, music affects your life in a different kind of way. Music is part of your growing and your development and your fucking learning how this world works. You know what I'm saying? Like, so all of that goes along with it. When you get to a certain space where you're culturally not moving and grooving as much, it's less impactful in that way, because you're not associating this music with things that you're going through now, and the new motherfucker you talking to now, and the goddamn new places you've been, and the first time you did this and the first time you did that, you know. So for me, it's not background, it's ride along music. You know what I'm saying? What's riding along with me? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not learning as much from the music as I once did. Now the music is helping me learn other things. And to me, it's which songs and which playlists are riding along with that. Like I said, I'm adding to my funk list. You know what I'm saying? There's new funk songs that I haven't heard, but I've heard somewhere way in the background, and I never knew him. And then you hear him again, be like, oh shit, I remember that. Plug that in. But it was from a time when I was learning, when I was finding my place in the world. This, you know what I'm saying, that type of music along with the hip hop is what was guiding you. Like, that funk shit wasn't like no radio everyday shit that was guiding you. But when you outside, you had the jams, that's what was playing. So it sticks to you a certain kind of way. So, you know, right now, I take what's good, what comes with it. Like, I could hear the Drake shit when it's on and I need it, or it's that type of vibe, or you at a kickback, or you riding in the car and you got the new shit and the goddamn all the new niggas. I love that. But then when I'm in the crib though, that shit be on some other shit.
Do you have any albums at all on heavy rotation?
From 2023?
Yeah.
No. Andre. Yeah,
okay. Okay.
Andre 3000. He'll play in the morning. Like I said, I listen to all these shits, but, you know, it ain't like I'm playing them back to back and at the house and just riding out. Nah, I'm still in 2022. I'm still on Young Dolph and Key Glock in there. Shit. I listened, like, I've listened to more, and it ain't even that it's new, but I've gotten more into the Griselda movement. A lot of it is older, you know what I'm saying? A lot of it is older. And how I got on that, I saw my son, he into all that old underground and new underground stuff, right? And so he saw the producer from, like, Griselda produce some shit with Drake. The composer James Williams. And so I'm like, oh, he big man. Let me see who this composer Williams is.
Right.
So I follow him on Instagram. So I see him out there making beats and, you know what I'm saying, the people he working with. And I've been, you know, jumping in his wave. And that wave, you know what I'm saying, feels a lot better, because the mainstream wave is, like you said, falling flat. So, like, what is going to churn up some energy? And, you know what I'm saying, I'm finding some energy in that new wave. And and all them cats and Jid and RFK such and such and Blase skipping now.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's definitely a time to just kind of treat it like a buffet. You know what I mean? Bounce around, check out this, check out that. I've been checking out a lot of old shit too. Like just going through catalogs, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I know you've been talking about Barry White not too long ago. So I was listening to one of, they got like a best of album that's damn near like 2 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
I was just listening to that shit. And I always like the lush production of Barry White, but his pre-song Shit Talk is legendary. His shit is too funny. He gonna speak for at least 2 to 3 minutes before he let that record rock. And he got some shit to get off his chest.
Yeah.
And
but Barry White got some, you know what I'm saying? He got some words. Like he'll play or not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even if he ain't got the preamble talk, just the lyrics in some of the songs, you know. Like the groove and the lyrics is like, damn, this nigga talking some shit. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, Barry White, he's unofficial. He's an unofficial Miamian, even though he's from Watts. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
His music is unofficial Miami from my era. You know what I mean? Like that's like the sound of the city. It's not even like, you know, oh yeah, he played Barry White. No, it's just when you hear you know that's Miami. Like, oh yeah, that's Miami. I don't know if that shit play anywhere else in the world like it play there, but it do. Certain songs.
Yeah, I was listening to a lot of him. I was listening to, as I said before, I've been rocking with Larry June a lot. I like the project he did with Alchemist. It's fire.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and was going through Fonte's catalog, listening to some of his shit. You know, he's a beast. But just popping around, putting together little playlists and things of that nature. You know. Nothing where I'm all locked in, where I want to hear it from top to bottom. What were you about to say?
I think 2023 is the year of discovery when it comes to music. It's now everybody's going to break out and start finding the shit that they really fuck with because they can.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And especially people that know how to dig, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to settle for any fucking thing no more. You just find your shit and rock out.
To that point, I think, you know, with discovery, beyond music too, like just how I'm talking about, I'm getting the Top Boy years later, right? Particularly with music, they used to be, especially from working at a music magazine back in the day, there was always this desire and pressure to be up on everything that was going on, to be in the loop, to be able to reference it, to be like, and I heard that, you know, and I found myself just listening down, you know, hearing shit, but not really feeling it, you know, on some old white man can't jump shit. And I think now, because I've accepted the fact that I'm not going to see every movie in the world. I'm not going to hear every album in the world. And I think streaming helped that because everything is at your fingertips. Like, so it's just like, It's a terrible, like, you're playing yourself if you even trying to hear everything. So now I'm just like, I'll get to it when I get to it. And I'm not tripping. I'll get to it when I get to it. I'll enjoy it when I enjoy it. I don't need to be part of, the only conversation I need to be part of is this one. You know what I mean? I don't need to jump into, you know, like, I haven't even watched the Chappelle shit yet. I'm going to watch it later on this week or maybe later tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm going to get to it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not rushing. I'm not rushing. So what am I in a rush for? You know what I mean?
Word.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Boris Yeltsin.
Who is that?
You don't know who Boris Yeltsin is?
Who is Boris Yeltsin?
One of the illest trap rappers out of Boris Yeltsin was a Russian leader. He came after Gorbachev. Hold on. Let me see. See what Boris Yeltsin is. Yeah, man. Boris Yeltsin was a Soviet politician who was the first president of Russia from 91 to 99.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
90s was a dark period in in current events for me. That shit wasn't current where I was at. Shit wasn't nothing.
I can dig it. I hear that.
Right around 90, that's college. Like, college, you ain't sitting around watching TV and shit like that. You fucking outside.
It's a black spot. It's a black spot culturally. It's a black spot. Did you see that show?
Nah.
I heard about it, though. I heard about it. I seen it peripherally.
Nigga, all I know for show that nigga seen was Martin, Def Comedy Jam, Arsenio Hall, and shit. That's about it.
All right. Well, let's talk about, speaking of all of that, what do you want? Let's go to movies real fast because TV is a little abundant. Movies feels like I didn't see a whole lot of movies, particularly in the theater. I did see, and I talked about it on here, Killers of the Flower Moon, the Scorsese movie. I saw Air. I talked about that. The Viola Davis Jordan movie. I saw Bottoms with Ayo. I forget how you say her last name. I saw The Equalizer 3. I saw They Cloned Tyrone, Rustin. And I think my favorite movie of the year, maybe it's recency bias, but I saw American Fiction. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that a lot. How you feeling movie-wise?
Well, I'm going to tell you like this, man. I had American Fiction as my favorite movie of the year. Not because of the action. I watched a lot of old action movies and, you know, from other years and all that stuff. I like what the movie did. You know what I'm saying? I like American Fiction took a black family movie and made a mumblecore ass intellectual think piece. You see what I'm saying? Black movies don't really get that treatment a lot. And when they do, it don't really come off the way that you feel like it should come off. Like, when you watch an old French-ass movie with subtitles and shit, you be patient. And you know what I'm saying? And it come off a certain kind of way. They pulled it off with American Fiction. Even with Familiar Faces. Familiar Faces, that's not even part of that genre, per se. You know what I'm saying? So you had it. Erica, you know what I'm saying, from Living Single, the lawyer, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, Issa Rae, you had, I'm forgetting his name, not because I'm disrespectful.
Sterling K. Brown?
I'm talking about the main character. Sterling Jeffrey K. Brown. Wright? Get back, Jeffrey Wright. I'm not saying his name because I don't care.
Yeah.
It's because on Netflix, my kids made my profile picture Jeffrey Wright with a bald spot, like from Westworld. Like, nigga got a balding spot. I'm like, come on, like, how the fuck y'all gonna make me Jeffrey Wright? God damn. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else got these old nice little profiles. My shit mad and balding. Even balding, yeah.
Damn.
But I think he was a perfect casting for it. I think the way that they portrayed it, it wasn't heavy-handed. They gave you Martha's Vineyard without it being. They never even said it was Martha's Vineyard. You know what I'm saying? It was just there. It was, this is where we at because this is where we at. And a lot of times in black movies, the intellect is heavy-handed. And it's like, this is what we're doing because people don't do this. They didn't do all that. They just did the damn story and let you smart motherfuckers figure it out. And that's what I enjoyed that. And that's not an easy feat. You know what I'm saying? Going not even just against just a black demographic per se, but taking culturally relevant actors that's in the space now, putting them in that type of format and pulling it off without it just being, you know, stereotypical you know what I'm saying, patronizing. They didn't give no fucks about how nobody felt about it. They just went with it.
Yeah. That's what I like most about it. I thought it was balanced. I thought it had, you know, it had a good amount of satire. Like, it reminded me of, like, the satire reminded me of, like, a more low-key Hollywood shuffle. You know what I'm saying? It made its points, but it also didn't pick a side. Right. You know, like, it wasn't preachy, it wasn't finger wagging, and then it kind of slipped a, like a nice, to your point, like a nice little quiet black family story in the middle of the movie. You know what I mean? Right. You know, so it was like twofold going on. What else did I like about the joint? I mean, yeah, I think that was like, that was the biggest thing. And to your point about what I appreciated that it could be a, I guess you would say like a quiet movie with a lot of nuance, right? Mm-hmm. And there's this thing, and I think that we're growing out of it slowly, but I see the shift and I see the spectrum getting wider. As far as black entertainment, there's more room for nuance, right? Yeah. Before, like when you first said, yo, it wasn't the most, you know, I seen some more exciting films last year, whatever, whatever. It's like when it comes to black entertainment, a lot of times the patience is short. It's like, when this shit gonna be funny? Nigga, what's gonna happen? What the fuck? Mm-hmm. What? Come on, yo. Why this shit so slow? Like, you always hear that type of critique. That shit was slow as fuck. That shit was dry as shit. Everything don't have to be on 10. Because we not always on 10. Right. You know, like you was talking about you and your wife, then girlfriend, laying across the couch while Puffy was dodging bullets. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes there's a dichotomy. Sometimes motherfuckers, we always talk about, you know, the black Norman Rockwell or black frolicking and, you know, just living life and just being black.
We always
and here you go.
Huh? We always talk about it.
That's what I said. We always talk about it. No, that's us. We waving that flag. And I mean, there's people out there. But there's a shift. And I feel like hopefully there's more people that will explore that. Because you can't tell me that it doesn't resonate.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you liked it, I liked it. There's a bunch of people that liked it. I think the shit is good. I hope more people see it. That was my biggest thing when I left. I was like, damn, this shit good as... I had two thoughts. I was like, damn, they killed Tracy Ellis Ross off like a horror flick. My bad. That's a spoiler. My bad. You could blank that. But I thought that, and my biggest thing was I just hope enough people go to see this shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I hope people hear about it and go check it out.
It was a trip that, you know what I'm saying, like the whole family was all doctors except for one character. But nobody, you never saw nobody in a lab coat per se. You saw Tracy Ellis Ross at the building, but you didn't see her trying to be a doctor or none of that shit. It was just like regular house shit. You know what I'm saying? That was just a backdrop, you know? The brother, you know what I mean? Like, you never saw him in that mode at all. You just saw him in his, like, shit, I'm trying to be out phase.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So you had all the elements without it being, you know, heavy-handed. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, this is a doctor and a lawyer. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't that. They were that, but nobody ever had to really insinuate that. So,
yeah, man.
They did a good job with that movie. And I didn't really know much about it until you said something about it. So that was a nice surprise.
Yeah, that's what's up. I'm glad you fucked with it. I think Sterling K. I think everybody did their thing, but I think Sterling K. Brown did his thing, and I think Erica Alexander did her thing. Yeah. Like, it would be dope if either one of them got nominated. And obviously, you know, Jeffrey Wright is a beast. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
and it gave, I think even for Issa Rae, it gave her a place to fit in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of times, like, you know, she'll do her stuff where she knows where to put herself. But then she'll do other stuff and it'd be like, you know what I'm saying? She's an actress, you know, of course she's going to try to play whatever role. But as a fan, it's kind of like, she might not have fit there that well. You know what I'm saying? Right. I might not really want to see her in that way. But just one motherfucker. I just felt like in this one, it was a position where it kind of fit. It's something that can be drawn upon and she could grow from if played right, you know what I'm saying, while she do all her other shit.
Right. And speaking of Issa Rae, this is a good transition into our TV situation. You didn't watch rap shit this season, huh? Or did you?
I just be catching bits and pieces of it. I haven't sat down mm-hmm. and watched the whole shit. My wife watches it, so, you know, I mm-hmm. walk in on it. You know what I'm saying? I might mm-hmm. sit down and, you know what I'm saying, catch an episode or two. But I haven't sat down and watched it from the first. I think I watched the first four episodes.
Right.
Straight.
Right. Yeah.
But other than that, I've been popping in. I get the gist of where it's going and what's happening. But, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? You know, I haven't sat down and watched it. They trying to push the little manager out. You know what I'm saying? You got the producer trying to make his own floss. You know what I'm saying? Right. Get all the glory. Yeah, I catch it, but I ain't right. caught it.
Gotcha. Yeah. I thought it was a solid season. I thought it was real good. Shout out to my man Dave Hellum. He wrote on. He actually wrote an episode. I thought this season particularly, I think, I don't know how you pronounce her name. I think it's Jonika. Jonika Booth, the one that played the manager.
Mm-hmm.
I think she bodied that. Like, if we had to nominate somebody for an ITC award for TV, she's up there. She did her thing. And Jabuki did his thing, too, who played the producer,
mm-hmm.
who was, like, real funny style, because I really didn't like his character. So that's a testimony to, like, how good, you know, they did. I thought everybody else
gave... But you know that nigga, though.
Yeah.
You know niggas just
like... Of course. Yeah. You know, but you... And I think they did that well. Like, you know a lot of these characters and these personas and how they presented it and a little bit of... You know, like the little bit of, I guess, nuance, the little bit of like personality traits that you see, but maybe you can't always put your finger on it, but then you see it presented and you like, yup, I know a motherfucker like that for sure. Mm-hmm. I know a motherfucker like that. Like, I know somebody like the manager. Know a bunch of people like the manager that's like finessing and scamming and just trying to make a way out of no way
right.
and land on both feet every time like an alley cat. You know, stressed out, like what you said, Bubba Chuck, you know, like a duck, but fucking floating whatever, like paddling like
stressed
shit.
Like hell up under the bottom.
Hell yeah. Yeah, losing the tooth, getting right back in the game, you know, like yeah. I don't want to spoil it for you, but yeah, shout out to Jonika Booth. She did her thing. And then the last thing on some Issa Rae shit, just I got a gift for somebody. You know, she got her own Prosecco out called Via Ray. That shit, like, sold out damn near everywhere. I had to go, I just look far and low, find that shit. And, but, yeah, she winning. She winning out here. But, yeah, back to TV, man. We talked about a whole lot of shit. We recapped BMF. We did a loose little recap. I guess we recapped Kindred. Shout out to Harlem, you know what I mean, for... You know, giving the nigga a nice little look. Power Ghost, obviously, we done walked through that. Snowfall's final season,
mm-hmm.
we walked through that. The Idol, I walked through that.
Yeah, walked through that.
Yeah, The Shy, I watched that with my sister. The Succession, we walked through that.
Yeah, we walked through that.
Yeah, Fargo, we still in the midst of that walk.
Raising Canaan.
Raising Canaan, we in the midst of that walk, but... I'll say this, back to ITC Awards. So I said Jonika Booth should be nominated for a performance. I feel like, what's my man's name? And then my man that played Jerome on Snowfall.
Yeah.
I forget his last name. Y'all know. Jerome. He deserves to, you know, be nominated for a walk to the podium. I forget my man, London Brown, my man that's playing Marvin on Raising Kanan.
Yeah.
I think he's doing his thing. We'll talk a little bit about that in the second part of this episode after we get through these recap awards.
I mean, Joseph is Jerome.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I definitely got him up there just, you know, across the entirety of the series. He's been solid. Mm-hmm. He's been that character that had a lot of depth to him. You know what I'm saying? Probably more than any other character. I know Franklin gets a lot of the acclaim and, you know, the he came up. But Jerome had a family, you know, per se. You know what I'm saying? He had a relationship with the neighborhood that was super crucial to Franklin's moves and mm-hmm. come up, and he was the problem solver. You know what I'm saying? He had the one who had the moral compass out of all of them. You know what I'm saying? He told all these motherfuckers how this shit was going to go. You know right. what I'm saying? Why he didn't want to do it. Did it anyway for y'all. I just think in the final season, although his acting was on point and he would be nominated for the ITC Award, he is nominated for ITC Award. I think the writers just got lazy and was like, we need to end, we need to wrap this up. And how are we going to do that? I think they got lazy with Jerome. I think his character did not portray any of the moral compass that they built him to have. I think, you know, I don't think he was using any of the social intellect and IQ that he had in the final season. I just thought they just wasted him away. Like, okay, just wrote him off on paper. And, you know, it sucks because, you know, it could have really been very poignant what they could have done with him. But, you know, in our eyes, you know what I'm saying, he's still up there. You know what I'm saying? Of course, Franklin will be up for his own, you know what I'm saying, awards as far as overall, you know what I'm saying, ITC 2023, you know what I'm saying, going from businessman, mind playing tricks on you, to the drunk on the Ave, you know what I'm saying, in the end. So shout out to everybody who made Snowfall happen. Shout out to John Singleton, who was able to bring that to life before his passing. Rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? It was a good piece of work. I just think without him in the end, I think they rushed through the end kind of like a la Game of Thrones last season and denied us from, you know what I'm saying, completing a very poignant story.
Yeah. Shout out to Angela Lewis, too, who played Aunt Louie, I think.
Yeah, Aunt Louie.
She got busy, too, made you kind of, you know, feel away.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. Snowfall wins it for me overall. You know what I'm saying? Just production value, just all what they did with that show, all what they did with that story. We've seen us, we've seen stories like this. You know what I'm saying? We watching Raising Kanan, we watching BMF, but none of them was put together the way that they put together Snowfall. Yeah, they had their shortcomings in the last season, but still overall, they it was top notch the way they put it together.
Yeah. I think I agree. Yeah, I'm with that. I'm with that. I think they definitely are on a higher tier, you know, damn near film. And I guess that has a lot to do with the John Singleton effect. Mm-hmm. So yeah, shout out to them.
Man, 50 Cent got a major stake in this shit, man, you know?
Dog, we talked about 4 50 Cent shows in 1 year. At least three.
Yeah.
BMF, Ghost, Raising Kanan. Yeah.
Yeah. And you like White Power.
Forgot. Yeah, White Power. White Power was there. I forgot all about that. Yeah. Yeah, 50, like, that motherfucker's the Ray Kroc of the streets, of the street TV.
We gonna boil that shit down to Kanan and BMF, though.
Yeah. Those are my favorites. I think, I think Kanan's my favorite of the spinoffs. Then Ghost come after that.
Raising Kanan is well done. Shout out to 50 Cent team and Rob Hardy for, you know, setting the tone and, you know what I'm saying, All of the stakeholders, you know what I mean? They do a good job with the timing, the look, the, you know what I'm saying, the actuality of the look. The jury is on point. You know, you couldn't say that for Snowfall. Their jury was not on point. It wasn't time consistent. You know what I'm saying? They were doing certain type of chains when niggas weren't doing those kind of chains yet. But Raising Kanan typically stays on point. The leather outfits, rocks of feathered hair, you know what I'm saying? Range Rover,
cars.
Box Ranger, the cars are on point. Snowfall didn't show no lifestyle. That was a major miss for them, but Kanan, the cars, all that shit on point.
Yeah. Real quick, just for the culture, just some quick honorable mentions before we get into our recaps. Shout out to Tatiana. That was the IT restaurant of the year. That's so Kwame Kwanch. I always fucking forget and fuck up his last name, but you know. Black Cat, fire restaurant right there in Lincoln Center. Shit is winning. It was a big year for Oxtail.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Have you been to Tatiana's?
Yeah, I've been to Tatiana's.
Oh, that's what's up.
And it was good. It was good. I talked about it on here. It was good as shit. You know what I mean? It's a little expensive because the thing is, it's elevated street food. You know what I'm saying? So it's like oxtail. That's expensive. But it's some big ass pieces of oxtail. Like I ate for 2 days off that oxtail. Like it was, it all of the plates are to be shared. I didn't realize that at first. So price point kind of is consistent with that, but like, you know, like they got good shit. Like they doing the take all shit that you could, you know, you could get from round the way Jamaican spot. You know what I'm saying? And be great with it. But it's just like it's elevated, it's added a little flair to it, you know, good ingredients and different takes or rather certain things, little cool approaches to stuff. But it's cool. Nice little vibe in there. You know, like it's cool. I'm happy to see a young black dude win like that. I read his memoir before, so I was invested. I wanted to check it out. And like, yeah. So salute to Tatiana. Oxtail, you know, oxtail everywhere. Shit on pizza. The shit is mixed in with a beef patty and cocoa bread and macaroni and cheese. Like the oxtail was the flaming hot spice of fucking food cuisine, I think, this year. Hip hop turned 50. You know, mixed feelings about that, if I'm being honest. I'm happy that it got there, but you know, I'm more on the line of congratulations, hooray. There's a couple things I'm like, nah. But it is what it is.
I think the execution from some of these places who shouldn't have been executing was whack. Right. But it doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, guys who actually put down the roots, given the opportunity to get out here and work, tell their stories, you know what I'm saying, get some of these stories out to people who don't know them, generations that have been skipped, you know what I'm saying, that haven't been able to touch the early years, you know what I'm saying. A lot of those conversations are being had. LL performing on goddamn, you know, New Year's Eve. So it's bringing an awareness. It's bringing cats out that wouldn't have never been out. You know what I'm saying? You could see the age on it. You know what I mean? But it's good to be able to see the age on something black. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times they get us pegged. Well, you ain't gonna make it past 25. Yeah, you know, that's been a story that people start to believe. Like, you know what I'm saying? I ain't think I was gonna make it past 30. Like, I ain't never think that, but, you know, I could see where people get it from, but ain't nobody finna tell me that. I always thought I was going to get old, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I saw the propaganda out there, though. It was definitely there. Beyonce tour, that was a moment in culture. You know,
we talked Beyonce about that. Beyonce left her mark. Keith Lee left his mark. Oh, speaking
Keith
of food.
Keith Lee definitely disturbed the peace out there, and I'm not mad at that. He definitely blew up my turkey wing spot. I'm a little tight about that, but it is what it is. Pharrell and the Louis Vuitton look, that was cool for him. Usher, 100 shows at Vegas residency.
Usher,
you know, and
made a way.
Domestic terrorist, huh?
Usher made a way for himself this year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Resident, you know what I'm saying? Did his thing every night when he was gonna do them. His sing along to the ladies caused a stir, broke up some homes. Shout out to Keke Palmer now. You know what I'm saying? Her shit was immediately wrecked after the Usher piece. You know, you got the cats thinking about these. I think Wu-Tang got a residency and a New Edition is starting a residency this year. You got cats thinking about this, and I think they should be thinking about it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
makes sense.
I think that people, you know, you might not be able to age to travel all around the world and do all that shit over and over and over and over,
But if you in one place and people come see you, that's a way. You know what I'm saying? And I will shout out my prediction. It ain't right now, but whenever he feels like he's ready to get grown, Chris Brown gonna kill that shit.
Interesting. I mean, you've been kind of hinting at this prediction. I think we might have to expand on it another time. I mean, I know you was hinting like, yo, I got a Chris Brown take that I want to share with the audience. It has something to do with him maturing and getting
It's just, I think he has a second act. You know what I'm saying? Like now he's doing this thing. Whenever Chris Brown say, you know what, I'm going to put out a grown folk type of album to his generation.
Uh-huh.
Them people that grew up with him, they not grown. You know what I'm saying? They grown now. They grew up on Stomp the Yard and all them first albums. They starting to grow up. And once they get to an age where he's speaking to them at that age, it ain't going to be nothing stopping. All that past shit, he'll be able to overcome it. You know what I'm saying? I think his grown man act is going to be his best act. That's when everybody going to be able to really buy into his talent and celebrity that he was building that, you know, got derailed. I think people will be able to jump back on it once
What do you think that? Go ahead.
It's on him, you know what I'm saying? Whenever he feels like, you know what, I'm settled, I'm mature, I'm going to go ahead, do this residency in Vegas, put on my motherfucker suit and sing some songs to motherfuckers in a way that's to grown people. Not I'm a blood and I'm going to dance y'all out. You know, he's still going to dance. And it ain't that long away. I would give it about 5 years.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
All right.
If I had...
Yeah, I was asking what it looked like. So you're saying like
it would look like that same artist as a growner version of himself. You know what I'm saying? He got some elements where he got some songs that's hard hitting, but they talking real shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's still doing his dances because he still can do that. But at the same time, his topic of conversation is not really from the perspective of, you know, this outside in the club. This is, you know what I'm saying? This is that grown man music on y'all motherfucking ass by Chris Brown. And they be like, what? And I think his audience will be at that age to respect it, and everybody else will be able to join in as they were going to when he was the Double Mint Kid. So that's just my thing. I just think people like to write him out like, he, you know what I'm saying, he tripping, he trying to be a blood, he, you know what I mean, da 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 da. I think the man did shit. He came out super good even under all what he was going through. You know what I'm saying? So
I think he's the most resilient R&B artist that we've seen in the last 10 years.
Right.
Considering all of the shit that he's going through, he's kept his audience, and the people that fuck with him.
Right.
You know.
And they're going to continue to. That's why I say he already got the base for it.
Who do you see do you see anybody from the past that has kind of made that move, the transition from kind of young and wild and then kind of grown and evolved and like a little bit more, you know, like, I guess, mature with it? Like,
not in the same way that he has to do it. Like, Michael Jackson went from a kid to a grown man, to a super pop star.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I guess Usher.
Yeah, Usher. Usher is probably the closest thing where he went from a young pop star. But he always sang mature songs. You know what I'm saying?
True.
He did give you some club banger type joints. But Chris Brown relied on the club scene in the streets when the mainstream wouldn't have him. You know what I'm saying? So he took that lane. I just think there's a whole nother, he could switch back over and do something that nobody has done before. You know what I'm saying? They wrote him off, man. You know what I'm saying? But I think the man talent and, you know, given he stay out of trouble now. I ain't going to say now he can still go around whooping on people and shit.
Right.
But given he could, you know what I'm saying, he gets the opportunity to grow up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like most of us do.
Right.
We not like we was when we was 25 and 30. You know what I'm saying? Given the opportunity for him to grow up, I think he gonna kill that shit as an adult type of artist.
All right, well, we'll see. Maham Shadamas, you heard it here first. We will see what happens and see Chris Brown turn into Gerald Levert.
No, he's not going to turn into Gerald Levert.
No, I know.
He's
going to turn into Chris, Brown. He's going to be Christopher Brown.
He ain't going to be Christopher. Y'all going to see how that can grow up. You know what I'm saying? Most people don't see how black men could grow up. You know what I'm saying? You either what you was or you washed. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody got an image for a grown ass black man when you a young nigga. You know what I'm saying? Niggas take your granddaddy and be like, that's the image of an old man.
I don't know. I would argue that if I had more time, I think things have evolved. I think shit is changing a little bit. I think there's a little bit more on the landscape. It may not be in your face, but I definitely think it's not as scarce as it may have been 20 years ago, for sure. That's just how I feel.
The work ain't done.
Yeah, the work ain't never done. Then the work ain't never done. The work gonna keep going. There ain't no, you know, shit. This world gonna keep spinning. You know what I mean? Generations, generations, and generations. We just here for how long we here for? Shit, man. What else? Real quick, out of the culture. I mean, we got a honorable mention at Montgomery boat battle. You know, that was a moment.
That was a moment.
That was a teachable moment for both black people and white people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that I hope black people realize that, you know, we're better together than apart. You know what I'm saying? And I hope white folks realize there's always some more black people. You know what I mean? Just around the corner. So be careful. Yeah, man. What else? Writers and the actors strike. That shit was a motherfucker. But, you know, everybody back to work. You know, see what happens with that. Rest in peace, Tyree Nichols. Rest in peace, Jordan Neely. Due to some bullshit. A lot of other people passed, but, you know, I don't want to cherry pick nobody. I just thought about you know what I mean? But a lot of people, you know, y'all know. But rest in peace to everybody that passed, you know. Real fast, shout out to Ja Morant, Deion Sanders, and Cam and Mace in the sports world. I don't know if you want to speak to any of that.
Man, you know,
we move on.
My man Ja Morant is back, dunking on niggas. At least trying on some of them. You know, back to his high flying feats. Love to see it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, young man just being young and stupid. And, you know, he'll get past it as long as he keep doing what he do at his day job. And shit, you know, Deion, of course, went out there, changed the ways of the, you know what I'm saying, of the school and brought attention like it never had. And, you know, is on his way to starting something special. You know, he didn't get all the wins that he wanted, but shit, he motherfucking made the waves and brought that energy. So, shout out to Deion. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely brought that energy.
He might be the sportsman of the year.
He could be. He could be. He's up there.
ITC Awards, goddamn.
Yeah, shout out to him. And shout out to Draymond Green with the Fist of Fury Award. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Yeah.
And Cam and Mace, they came in doing their thing, man. So
yeah, they did their thing. Shit. They killing it. They killing it. And stat. All right.
All right.
There it is.
Word.
There, anything else? Oh, shout out to Kai Cenat. You know what I mean? Doing his thing.
How you pronounce that shit?
You know. Kai Cenat.
Cenat.
I believe. Cenat, oh. I believe. You know, okay. It could be Cenat. I think it's Cenat.
Yeah. But, I didn't know how to pronounce it, so I just stayed away from it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Butchering the man's name.
Yeah. Shout out to him. Getting that shit off. Building a hellified audience for himself.
Him and Funny Marco had a great year.
Yep. Yeah, shout out to them. And, yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of other people. It's a long-ass year. So, you know, what they always say, blame my head, not my heart. You know, that type of shit. So, yeah, salute. You know what I mean? Salute to everybody. Everybody get a head nod. Peace. You know what I mean? But let's talk about these. Let's talk about these two shows, man. Where you want to go first?
You know, I mean, shit, it ain't no question. We're going to go Fargo first.
Okay. Okay. You kick it off.
It's Fargo. I guess this episode was called Linda. You know, it's all about Dot, Nadine, or whoever you want to buy into at this point. Going back to kind of deal with some of the past, the stuff that we've been quietly learning over the last couple of episodes, and really taking us to the root of how it all happened. And it starts with the original Linda, the Saint Linda of the new organization that helps battered women get over their battered situations. But what Dot needs is this particular Linda to come join her fight in testifying against old Roy, who doesn't have a case, and I'm not sure where they're going to bring this case. And you know what I'm saying? It's kind of vague as to what she would be testifying to and to whom.
Yeah.
But that's what we had with it. So she went back, looked, you know, I guess, you know, they had some type of way of reaching out, and she went and found the postcard under the windmill saying the camp where they were, the encampment of sheltered women. And so she found her, you know, went there thinking that it was going to be a quick 1-2-1-2 in and out. And they were like, nah, you coming here making these accusations, you're going to have to testify to them here before she goes anywhere. Because, you know, the crowd has to believe you before any motion can happen. So, you know, she had to go through the process begrudgingly, make a doll and a puppet and do a puppet show testifying her story, in which we find that Linda was Roy's original, one of his original wives that actually recruited her in, per se, and kind of knew what Roy was going to do as far as, you know, sex her, abuse her, and all the other things. And she brought her in and kind of, you know, handed her to the wolves. And that's how it went. And so Dot was really just trying to say, hey, you brought me into this shit. You knew this shit was going to happen. You knew what this shit was. And I need you to tell the other people how the fuck I got caught up in some shit like this. And so, you know, we spent a lot of the episode on that. Shout out to Savon White. He was actually the director on Stomp the Yard. He directed this piece. So shout out to him. Dope. Yeah, so, you know, he's a real creative guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, he thinks very creatively. So I think with the visions of the puppet show and the way that they move through those things in a 3D kind of way, I think it really suited Savon as a director. So that was pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to him. Cause that shit was dope. I really liked that a lot. But go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, I think a lot of the show was based on that. In the end, she ends up getting her to agree to come back and do it with her. And because it was so much of that, I don't know, what other parts did we see in that motherfucker?
We saw a couple things. Well, one, back to the Linda thing too. So I was getting the thing that I know Linda already kind of threw Dot kind of under the bus, right? Or like did a trade and got up out of there and threw her to Roy. And I'm curious how many wives Roy had, if Linda's the first one or if he got a whole lineup of them. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, did she take some money from her too? Because remember she dug up the thing and she got that empty ass canister with the postcard in?
Oh,
and
shit,
it was like, sorry. Yeah, it looked like it said, sorry, Linda. So that's why when Dot pulled up on it, it was on site. She snuffed her. Wow. And then it was like, let her, you know, chill. Yeah, she had to let that hand go one time at least.
Yeah.
There's going to be a few more, but the Lindas kind of broke it up. But on the other side of things,
yeah,
we see that Munch, his patience game is the best because he set up a whole little thing to make it look like he was on a rocket chair in the window waiting on homie to pull up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, had his little puppet get shot in the head, making Gator think that he killed Munch. Then he sees that the bag, we don't even know if there's money in the bag, but the bag is still in the car. So he breaks into the car, and as he's trying to get the bag out, the old lady who Munch just killed her son early on with an axe, you know, Gator kind of pushed her off. She fell, cracked her head, she died. And so we're going to see what's going to happen to that.
There's so probably not Munch mad.
Munch mad again. You know, Munch need that. Munch is one of the people that need a quest. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, he needs something to point him in a certain direction.
I mean, point him to evil. Got down, the nigga been on accepting sins for 500 years.
Yeah. So everything probably don't get him hype. He done seen that shit before. That was 300 years ago. I remember niggas did that shit. I don't respond to that no more. You know what I mean? But that right there in my whole 500 years, I ain't never see that, you know. So there's that. I'm trying to think what else happened. Dot made that puppet fast as shit. Yeah, I don't think there's anything Dot can't do.
She was trying to get a body there. It was too detailed, though. Like, I'm like, you ain't make them fucking shoes.
The joints were moving and shit. I thought it was going to be a small puppet. She made a full on. Like, it was crazy. What else do I remember? That's, at the very end, we see that, you know, Dot has the worst luck. She winds up in the hospital, and here come Roy, you know. So that's where that kind of ended, with Roy pulling up on her, you know. I gotcha. You know, we'll see what happens with that. Also notice that Wayne is starting to recover, and he's starting to redeem himself. He's not as simple as he once was. He's still kind of like overly benevolent, like when he traded out that old car for the new car, you know what I mean? Like that, you know, but that's just him, I guess, being nice and not really tripping, but yeah, fucking business up a little bit. But that was it. Everything, this was a really like a big Dot Linda episode. Yeah. So, yeah.
So it was a setup, you know what I'm saying? Munch is mad, so that throws off the dynamics of Roy. The you know what I'm saying, the lady lion is on Roy's campaign. So we about to see how that's gonna play out. Dot is headed back with Linda to kinda help be able to explain her story.
Right.
And yeah, it looks to be quite the ending coming up pretty soon in the next couple episodes. Is it one or two more left? Think it's two more left? No, it's
episode
four,
seven, so it must be three.
Is it 10?
They got 10 episodes on it. Okay. I think. I could be wrong. Well, maybe
it's
just
nine. Wrong. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Raising Kanan, we on episode five.
Oh, yeah. Raising Kanan.
Episode five. What was the name of this episode? I forget. It was I forget. I'll say this from the door. Pour a little out for a street legend. You know.
Yeah, man.
R.I.P. Unique.
Oh, man. Unique.
He should have seen it coming. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to be like that, but.
Everybody fucking with Ronnie should see it coming, but God damn. I don't think he thought it was going to get to that point. You know what I'm saying?
He had the blind spot, the brother blind spot. He ain't think it could happen to him. He slept on his brother.
Probably one of the few times where the voiceover could have mattered. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They went a little too far with some of the shit. But if they would have stopped at a certain point where he was like, you know what I'm saying, at a certain point, you don't even remember why you fighting. You just fighting to see who's going to be the last man standing in the end. They should have just ended that shit right there and let it fucking play out. But then all that other shit kind of got in the way. But it's okay. They're getting better. But they got to the point because, you know, like you know, people that I know have said, if it's worth fighting for, it's worth killing for, which speaks to the same shit. It's like at the end of it, once you in it, you really fighting to be the last man standing in the end, because whatever you fighting of don't even matter no more, because at the end somebody gonna die. And
Yeah.
And that's what happened. Like, he got the best of him, but he ain't finish him out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He just talk shit. Yeah, now I'm the nigga now. Okay.
Right. Because he's still sleeping on Ronnie. He think that he could just beat his brother ass and it was going to be all good. He don't realize, to your point, Ronnie willing to take it all the way there and beyond.
Yeah.
And there was too many moments, too much foreshadowing, where if he wasn't blinded by the loyalty of Happy and his brother, or his older brother at that, he should have been clear. Pernissa telling him, fucking Rock telling him, Ronnie's telling him, you know what I'm saying? Dean telling him. Everybody like, yo, your man is wilding out here. And I don't know if, I forget who did the narration, but when they introduced him, he's been living up to that introduction, talking about he's the guy that the people that you don't want to fuck with, don't want to fuck with.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This thing has been weird as shit, popping up 3 a.m. Like, he was the boogeyman. This nigga was living crazy. Right. It was so many times where it was like, this shit is a oncoming train, and either you gonna have to stop that shit or get run over. And unfortunately, and I was surprised, because, you know, Unique is, you know what I mean, like a fan favorite. He's like one of the bigger characters on the show.
Yeah.
Out of here. I mean, out of here. But I appreciate that. I appreciate that they true to, you know, whatever narrative, they took a big swing and got rid of a big character.
Yeah, and, he might have had some other shit to do in real life, but nigga might want to make an album, go on tour or some shit.
Man, but come on.
That, none of that don't matter here.
Yeah, you make that album in between. But look, let me ask you this, because we've all said, we all of the belief of, you might not be dead in the Power Universe. I think he dead. I really think he dead. From what I understand, I think he did a whole little Instagram post talking about, you know, it's been good, whatever, whatever. But, you know, there's certain people, there's murmurs that I'm refusing to believe that Unique's dead.
Yeah, people don't want him to be dead, but he dumped his ass in the dump. I think in the trailer, he's decomposing.
Oh, wow. Damn. Got the worms coming out.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? His skin is bubbled up on the trailer. So,
I think
it's a wrap for him. Y'all going to see him in the decomposition line, nigga. You know what I'm saying? So, Ronnie done went too far. Told Pernissa about Rock. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Pernissa going wild. Ronnie goes Unique goes look for Ronnie, like, nigga, you done went too far. And that was, you know, that took him on over to the upper room.
Showed you how far he can go. Right. Bing! Hit him with the... Yeah, that shit was crazy. So. I think that... I'm trying to remember how it opened up. It started with something at the beginning. I forget. Oh... See them cops still trying to shake down Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Curious to see how that's going to turn out, because I don't think she's going to pay them, but we'll see. Take some shit going. She's going to have to take some action. I guess the Chinese food restaurant is a wrap. I don't think that's going to go down.
I mean, curious he to see did. What's gonna shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I don't know what's going to happen.
He got no plug. I mean, Ronnie.
Well, that's the thing. I'm curious what's going to happen with Ronnie and Juliana.
Right.
That looked like...
Well, not he dead, because she basically is like, nigga, go ahead and kill him.
Kill that nigga. Yeah. Yeah. Not you don't fuck with him. Yeah. Get rid of him for us. I think that a couple things I noticed. I think Marvin, back to talk about London Hughes, his character, Marvin has evolved a whole lot on the show from where he was. You know what I mean? Like, you see it a lot in how he deals with Jukebox and her sexuality. Mm. You know what I mean? He's like a lot more like tolerant and shit. Yeah, but he's like all in too. He's like, yo, what's up with your lady? She don't need a ride. Like, he's like, he ain't pushing her away.
No, you know he's not. He's doing everything he can to make it work against everything that he knows.
Yeah. 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 So I thought that he's trying to keep the family together, trying to get Rock to come out to lose situation. I gotta say this. Finally, a fucking dope moment for Famous. Once that man pulled that mic out that stand, he rocked that shit with ease.
Famous and that girl rocked that shit. They got some good talent on that motherfucker.
Yeah, he rocked that shit. Yeah. That nigga had. I can see all that weed smoking it right into that composition book. That shit that paid off because he. That nigga got busy. He had the motherfuckers doing the hook and shit like that. Nigga, the beat was fire. The nigga, the shit, I rewound that about 5 times. I was like, wait a minute, hold up. That shit came out of nowhere. I said, oh shit, wait a minute.
The only fucked up part about it was they had Lulu confused in the motherfucker after it was over. He was snapping like it was poetry, but then he clapped. I'm like, nigga, make up your mind, man. That's a cheer moment. That ain't no snap moment.
Right. I got to watch that again.
Yeah, they had Lulu snapping again. At first. He did 2 snaps, and then he clapped. Like, okay, like he was about to do something with Famous.
Yeah, we'll see. Famous rocked that shit. It's interesting to see what's going on with Jukebox in the group, but particularly with that girl, because it looked like there was some rhythm there. But Juke kind of passed her off to Kanan, and Shorty seemed to be with it. You know what I mean? So it was kind of.
You know how that be when you're young. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like you ain't too attached to nothing.
Right.
Go ahead. Ain't my lady. No, she trying to just be hard with the code. That's probably where it all go left. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It might be Sean mama. Nah, it ain't.
Who's Sean mama? Who's Sean?
Nigga who Kanan killed his son in Power.
Right. Damn, I forgot all about Dwayne Wade.
It's a universe now.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm curious at what point, are we going to see Ghost and Tommy and maybe even Angela? Like, are they going to pull up? And then some people saying that Ronnie might be the guy. There's word that Ronnie might be the guy that gives Kanan his first brick, and he's the guy that kind of puts all of them on. He becomes their OG. So we'll see. I'm trying to think. What's going on with Kanan?
Being a spoiled brat, he missed his meeting with the social worker, trying not to be home. He got his maps. He trying to keep the crew. You know what I'm saying? In check, trying to keep them going because they get nervous. The main messenger guy is like, nigga, you fucking on my business. He want to be out. You know what I'm saying? Not much was happening with Kanan this episode. Lulu had to go see his mama, though. Had to go to his mama house the first time we seen they had parents and shit.
Right. It's been a heavy prayer. It found out he had a father last episode.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, he got a whole mama that's alive. Like, damn.
And irritated.
Like, she just like Rock, like, motherfucker. I don't even come here. I don't send no money around here no more.
I'm trying to think what else. Seemed like Lou trying not to drink.
Lou is on the up and up. You know what I'm saying? He got his little open mic going. You know, people fucking with it. They on point. Like, this particular show, they are on point with the music of the era. The jewelry, the look, the cars, like, they got that shit down packed. Like, the high tops don't seem fake and, you know what I'm saying, wigs and shit. Like, niggas actually went in. Like, Ronnie mustache looked like a real jail mustache. Like, he sat home and grew for the show. You know what I'm saying? That's some shit they just stuck on him. You know what I mean? Like, niggas taking this shit serious.
Right. Yeah, it's been good. Every so often I realize this last episode, Rock and Lou, their little New York accent kind of be a little over the top sometimes. It just be a little like, all right. Like, Rock should be a little too clipped. And then Lou, my father. It's like, all right, bro. But I still fuck with the show. Still, you know, my favorite. That's just one of my little critiques. But I'm trying to think, is there anything that we missing? Let's spin the block one more time. Talk about Juke. Right.
You know, Marvin heard, you know, he did his little anger management with his partner, but his partner kind of told him Dean got killed, you know, inadvertently. And, you know, he had to get up out of there so he could let the people know that shit, niggas out here done killed Dean. So he went and told Rock about that, helped us sweep up, you know what I'm saying? While she's like, fuck Lou, fuck Lou. You know what I'm saying? You see Lou, fuck Rock. Marvin in the middle. You know what I'm saying? Staying steady. That was it. You know, Rock got some decisions to make with her extortion and her ongoing situation with the feds.
Jello interrogation.
And her son. You know what I'm saying? Like, she got shit she need to work out. And I think that's what we're going to be seeing, how she worked that out. Because we have the season, she ain't in the game. Like, it ain't even been no game. Who sold some dope? Marvin might have sold a few little things to the Wall Street niggas, but ain't been much dope.
That's it. Unique. Moving some unique, a little something wasn't at the, moving the nothing Chinese spot.
Was just getting established.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that's when Ronnie got real, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Ungrateful. Nigga, this ain't shit. This is what it is. Man, we got to build it. Man, fuck. This shit ain't shit.
Right. Like, damn. And he kind of spilled the beans on Rock and Unique to Kanan.
Yeah, that's what I said with Pernissa.
Inadvertently.
No, inadvertently. Huh? He meant to say that shit.
No, I'm talking about with Kanan. No, with Pernissa, he definitely meant to say that. What did he say with Kanan?
I missed that one.
He was just like... So Unique put you on? Because I seen him over there with Rock, something like that. Kind of and he was like, what? Like, he didn't know that Unique and Rock were like, you know, dealing like that.
Right.
And maybe he don't realize it's more than just doing business, but he was blind to all that until Ronnie was like, so who gave you the heroin? He was like, heroin, you know, on some Scooby-Doo shit. But
who said anything about heroin?
Exactly. And then the Pernissa shit, what was a funny little, like it kept going a couple times, it became like a funny little thing, was all Unique wanted to do was just finish his basic ass sandwich. You know what I'm saying? Just a regular ass sandwich. It wasn't no over the top ass sandwich. He just wanted to get through this sandwich. And every time he tried to take a bite, Pernissa's like, well, who the fuck is this chick? And he's like, damn, I'm just trying to enjoy my sandwich. It was like a couple of those. So I thought that was funny. A little running gag. Any predictions for either show?
Well, like you say, Ronnie finna be the man in the streets. You know what I'm saying? Which means Rock probably gonna come back in the game to kind of squash him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's gonna, I mean, you know, as I meant to say in our TV roundup that I wanted to, you know, shout out my man from BMF. What's his nigga name? Lamar from BMF, you know what I'm saying, is reincarnated into Raising Kanan as Ronnie. Mm-hmm. So now we got a Lamar on Raising Kanan now. That you want, you know what I'm saying? Bad guy that you want to root against, you know what I mean? Unless you just root for the bad guys. So Ronnie's the bad guy now. And I think they're gonna run with that. They're gonna make Ronnie, you know what I'm saying, chase all of our favorite characters around the board. And I think that's what we're beginning to see now.
So you think he gonna make it through the season?
Oh hell yeah. Definitely. Okay.
I still got my prediction. I still got my prediction. I think Ronnie might be the one to kill Rock. We'll see. That's a big look. If you took out two of the big dogs on the show, on the come up. But we will see. We'll see what's going on. And I don't know if he does kill Rock. I don't think he survives that. But we'll see. We'll see. That's my only prediction for right now. Yeah, that's it. But yeah, man, I'm excited.
Me too.
Happy 2024. Speaking of 2024, DC Improv, February 8th through the 10th. You already know. Also, City Steam in Hartford, Connecticut. February 16th and 17th. Go ahead and get them tickets now. They are on sale, DamianLemon.com. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Conversation.